Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just in case you've forgotten. This is Wretched Radio. You're going to want to wish you'd forgotten Bethel Music. I thought they'd kind of gone underground at least a little bit, but no, still touring, still raking in the cash, still receiving royalties for their music, which is sung in far too many evangelical churches, still spewing out their horrific theology. And just in case you've forgotten how bad Bethel Music and its teaching is, and Bethel Church, which, by the way, kudos to them. They just finally decided after like 15 years to ditch promoting the Passion Translation. We've got a YouTube video coming out on that in case you've forgotten how bad the Passion Translation is. It just struck me. How could a church promote a Bible that is so far away from the original text for so long? It's finally taken internet pressure for them to go, okay, we'll stop promoting it. They should have known that out of the a 6-year-old who had been through some sort of a good Sunday school class would have read the Bible translation and said, Mommy, what is this? I don't know what this book doesn't sound at all like the Bible, nor does what Bethel teaches sound a lot like Christianity. I think I just saw a clip. Maybe it was Gabe Hughes. Maybe it was Justin Peters. They showed a clip of their pastor, Bill Johnson, uttering inanities, just making no sense whatsoever. It kind of reminded me of, no, it didn't kind of remind me. It actually struck me being very similar to William P. Young. If you didn't know, the Shack is returning. The Return to the Shack is going to be the book that's released in October. There was an interview done by Fox News with Mr. Shack, and I'll read this to you, and you're going to get I think you'll get a good earful of the incoherence of so many of these people who are so popular. I don't understand. Now, this is he's promoting his book, and they're saying, hey, you're probably going to take a bit of a beating again. And he said this: there is no fear in love. That's a scripture out of the New Testament. So any degree of fear, that's in your sense of the transcendent, in your sense of the higher power, your sense of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Any fear indicates that your theology, your religion is seriously flawed. And because people are afraid, they're going to react out of that fear. What did you just say? I don't know. My identity is outside of that. And so, you know, sometimes I think if people are bothered by something, it means something is in them that needs to be addressed, and it becomes an invitation. And I'm excited for that to happen inside of people's lives. If I can walk on the holy ground of their story a little bit, I'm honored. If I can walk on the holy ground of their story a little bit, I'm honored. And people sit enraptured listening to these guys. The clip of Bill Johnson. There's an art to prosperity preachers, and one of their tricks is the dramatic pause. Say something that sounds whoa, and then you just leave it hang there, and then you repeat it again as if somehow somebody just came down from the mountain with a new revelation. Bill Johnson is one of those guys. And Kim Walker Smith of Bethel Music, she maybe does the pausing business too. But as you're about to hear in this newly released interview, this movement, which is so popular, I think it is safe to say, when we did Drunk in the Spirit, which you can watch, by the way, for free at fortisplus.org, when we did an expose on this maybe a decade ago now at this point, this was the fastest growing sect of Christianity in the world, and it continues to grow. And I think we need to remember just how bad Bethel Music and Bethel Church is, because every time we sing one of their songs, we're contributing to their coffers.
I get up to the front and I just start crying, just so broken and so hungry and just kind of in a really weak place. And immediately I went into this vision.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. You went into this vision.
And I have to say that this isn't something that happens all the time. Like, sure. This was really like an amazing moment for me.
That is so not true. I've listened to this woman tell stories before. They're having visions all the time.
It wasn't like I was just having these constantly or something, you know?
Sure.
And I see Jesus standing in front of me.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. That statement undermines the sufficiency of Scripture. This woman was so broken, so needy, that Jesus, rather than using his word to comfort her, appeared to her in a vision.
And he's reaching out his hands like he wants me to come to him. Wow. And I feel ashamed. And
did you hear the guy? Wow. People love this stuff. It's because I think they're not satisfied with what we have in the Bible. That should be enough.
I feel afraid and I feel unworthy. I feel like I don't deserve to be close to him or deserve to be even looking at him or touching him. And Jesus is completely irresistible.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop myself. And I
this is going to get romantic.
I made it over there and I fall in his arms and he's holding me. And even as he's holding me like this, I'm kind of looking away from him. Like I don't even have the courage to like look in his face and look in his eyes. And I have this thought in my head. I think I need to ask him two questions. And the questions were, how much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me?
You come face to face with the Savior, and all you can think about is yourself. How much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me? How much do we have any information, any place that indicates how much Jesus loves sinners? Jimmy, do you... Have you seen anything on the internet, any place that indicates God's love for us?
Some places, some places, yeah.
Like maybe the Bible.
That's the main place.
This is a good rule of thumb with these extra revelations. If it's a new revelation that's not in the Bible, then it's a fake revelation. And if it's something that's in the Bible, then we don't need the revelation. She didn't need this. I'm sure she's read the Bible verse. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as the propitiation for our sins. That's his demonstration of love. He died on a cross for you. Why would you need another affirmation? You don't. We've got everything we need in the Bible.
Wow.
And I knew that those questions were not me. That it was totally Holy Spirit. Like I wouldn't have... ask those questions.
Except everything revolves around me.
I had felt so much shame in my life. I had grown up believing that I was a mistake, that God meant to make a boy, and I came out a girl. That
okay, this is getting weird.
My family wanted a boy, and were disappointed that I was a girl. Or I just had these lies that came in as a child that kind of stuck with me, just believing that I was a mistake and that how much could you love a mistake? And he doesn't really love me very much. And he's...
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. Has she never heard, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son? Has she never... looked at the cross to consider God's great love expressed there? This is so unnecessary.
Just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Like, these are the kinds of things I believed about the way that God saw me and the way that he viewed me. And all of a sudden, out loud, in the natural, outside of my vision, Anthony Skinner's up on the stage and he says, you need to ask God two questions. You need to ask him, how much do you love me? And what were you thinking when you created me?
Wow. Can you, you know what that means, don't you? She's telling yarns. This is Bethel. is what this is. This is Bethel Music. And so if it has been a bit since you've been reminded of what this organization is all about, you've, Pastor, you run your church as you see fit. But when you're singing Bethel Music, this is what you're supporting. You're funding this. And you're encouraging people to go participate in this. And you are ultimately putting money into their coffers so that they can continue to propagate this utter nonsense, which I think ultimately breaks people's hearts. Now, if I'm listening to this, I'm going to have one of two responses. Why don't I get to have those sorts of visions? Or I'm going to gin one up. Well, if she can have one, I can too. And then I can let my brain synapse all over the place and I can have my own divine revelation. Ultimately, these people break hearts. Why? Because people are perpetually going to these concerts, listening to these types of interviews, listening to their, can't even call it preaching, let's just call it their talking, because the Bible isn't sufficient. They want more, a better experience. They got to get pumped up. They got to get whoop-de-dooed up. And then they sort of do, but then what happens? They crash. Oh my, Bethel Music is like a sugar high. And then you immediately crash and you're left longing for more. So what do you have to do? Wash, rinse, repeat. And that is why we need to be reminded of what Bethel Music is all about. This is Wretched Radio.
There's a lot of Christian content out there that sounds deep, but it actually isn't. It's inspirational. It's nice, but it doesn't actually help you when life gets hard. Fortis Forums are completely different. We're talking about how to comfort someone who's grieving and what Scripture actually says, not just what sounds nice. We're talking about marriage when things aren't easy and mental health and whether the Bible has real answers. Biblical manhood for a generation that's never been really given a model to follow. These are in-depth conversations with people like Dr. Jason Lyle, Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz, teachers who take the Bible seriously and don't shy away from the hard topics. These Fortis Forums are all on Fortis Plus for you to watch right now for free. And they're ready when you are. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and see what biblical depth actually looks like.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologist in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I promise I'll make this really quick. Hopefully. This is Wretched Radio. Hey, Jimmy, that was some pretty, that preaching there from Kim Walker Smith of the Bethel Music Corporation. Do you know of any decent preaching? I don't want to say good because that would be horn tooting. Any decent preaching that people could perhaps listen to that's a brand new podcast from Fortis Institute available at fortisplus.org or anywhere you do your podcasting business?
I'm so glad you asked, Todd. Absolutely. It's called Exalt the King.
Sounds fascinating.
With Todd Friel.
Uh-huh.
It's the preaching ministry of Alpharetta Bible Church.
You can check it out wherever you do your podcasting stuff. Let's move on, shall we? I promise I'll make this quick because I think this could be a hobby horse of mine. And the reason that it is because I see it so often. I feel the heartache of good Christian parents so regularly regarding this issue. And Fox News actually now is spending a little bit of time examining what is going on, why so many families are fractured. The divorce rate in America is really high, higher than it's ever been. And you say, well, I don't think so. People are kind of getting divorced at the same rate. I'm not talking about get an attorney for a pain-free divorce. I love those commercials. There's one in Atlanta. Divorce isn't fun, but we'll make it really quick for you. Of course, well, then they sell you a non-contested divorce, which always goes quickly if the two parties are willing to participate. Nevertheless, they're promoting. Want to be happy? That was another law commercial. Do you remember seeing that one? Sarah used to be so sad, and it showed a picture of Sarah being sad. Now Sarah's so happy. She's out with her friends laughing, having a glass of Chablis. Is Chablis still a wine? I don't know. She's having a glass of Sauvignon Blanc there. She's throwing her head back and laughing as she throws her hair into the air. Oh, life is so good now that she's divorced. Are you kidding me? Yes. They are promoting divorce and making life look wonderful once you finally sign those papers. I'm not talking about that divorce rate. I'm talking about kids divorcing their parents. YouGov. 38% of U.S. adults are estranged from at least one family member, including siblings, parents, children, or grandparents. 38%. This is why it's one of my hobby horses. It's so prevalent. This isn't a little trend. Why isn't Tucker Carlson talking about this? Oh, I know why. He's busy putting his arm around Joe Biden's son, Hunter. What in the world? Did you see that?
I did not.
Tucker Carlson interviewed Hunter Biden, and you would have thought they were besties from way back. It was bizarre, is what it was. Tucker Carlson, I think I have him kind of figured out. And this is going to sound a little bit like what? But I think it can happen. So just bear with me as I make this statement, then I'll explain it. I think his discovery of Christianity has kind of goofed up his thinking. Yeah, I know. But Christianity is supposed to bring clarity. Well, it does about Jesus Christ. Let's hope that Tucker is saved. But I think that it's an intense focus for him. He does not allow good theologians into his life. He is not a member of a local church. He doesn't sit underneath anybody's authority, so he's trying to figure it out for himself. He's insistent on that. And so he's getting teaching from whoever he chooses that kind of tickles his ears, that he kind of enjoys. And it seems that Tucker's touch point with the world now is it a part of his newfound morality? Do you recall when he was talking about Qatar, or Qatar, as we used to say, that it's a great place, wonderful place, because hey, I go out in the streets and I'm safe. Well, so why does he then say that entire nation is wonderful and that whole system is to be admired? It's because he doesn't like the lack of safety in America, the violence that's happening on our streets. He sees there's no violence in Qatar and goes, therefore, it's a good country. because he thinks that their morality regarding street violence is better. And I think, and I've seen enough of those instances that I think that that's what his issue is. So why would he put his arm around, literally put his arm around Hunter Biden and have a conversation about, hey, we went to school, same school, we knew the same people, run in some of the same circles. Why was he palling with Hunter Biden? It's because Hunter Biden, he hobnobbed with the same type of people, what they call the Epstein class. They identify how horrible that behavior is. Therefore, we now have a relationship. Hunter, you hate that stuff. I hate that stuff. We're good to go. Because they've got a touch point of morality. I think Tucker's Christianity is what's causing his newfound worldview and set of priorities. And that's why Tucker needs to be in a local church. He absolutely positively needs to be inside of the context of a local church. He needs somebody to disciple him, and he won't do that because he doesn't want to be indoctrinated. And to a degree, I get that. He wants to be his own man. He wants to think this thing through, but there's enough weight to the other side of the scale of this argument about whether or not you should let other people teach you. And that is, you've got 2,000 years of really smart people talking about the Bible. And if you're not willing to receive anything that they teach about the Bible, ooh, that's pretty arrogant is what that is. I can't be taught by anybody. He's under the impression that everybody that's a good teacher, or a high profile teacher, or even a denomination, they're just kind of in it for power or for fame or for money. And therefore, I'm not going to listen to them. That's, first of all, to, I think, impute a lot of ill intent to an awful lot of people. But it's also to neglect the fact that a lot of good people have studied the Bible for a lot longer than he has. So if nothing else, maybe a lesson some of us could learn. Are you in the context of a local church sitting underneath somebody's authority? Are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to learn from them and to submit to them? If not, well, I don't want to threaten or anything, but pretty soon you're going to be a Tucker Carlson. Fox News talking about the issue of divorce in America, people breaking up, and they list 5 reasons more Americans are cutting off their own parents. Now, this is according to a psychologist. Some of these are going to be familiar. Some of these might be, but I think they're worth noting. Why? We can't keep our kids from getting indoctrinated from the world. You can't, unless you just cut yourself off from all social media, all TV, all news, all music. You go live in Montana where in an area where there's just nothing. Okay, but as soon as they leave home, and they will leave home, they're going to find it. And they are going to start becoming indoctrinated with the Oprah Winfrey worldview that you've got to divorce people if they bug you. And so we need to be aware of these things, to interact with these things. We can't make them go away. We can't dismiss them. We've got to know. So here's one of the reasons that more Americans are divorcing their parents: political and value differences. Well, we can't change our values, certainly. But it does, I think, cause us to say, how do we talk about politics around the house? How do we talk about politics with the kids? Because we can be right in our convictions, but if they hear something that is so sounds unloving, they don't understand why we have that position, they're going to hear these liberals and they're going to go, they're just so much nicer. And they're going to jump on the we hate Republicans and Donald Trump and all of the evangelicals who support it. Be mindful of how you talk about politics around your kids. They're listening. Social media influence, that's no shock. Kids spending all that time being indoctrinated. I cut off my parents' TikTok videos. There are proliferated. There are just so many of them these days, and the kids are consuming that. Therapy culture, I think we heard that a week or two ago. Therapists that are encouraging divorce with your parents. Communication breakdowns. That that we just aren't listening well to the kids. At least they don't perceive that. We just constantly tell them what to do. We maybe don't explain things. We don't ask them how they're thinking about things. So what do? They would just want to get away from you because they thought you were overbearing. And number five would be outside influences. In other words, a friend, a spouse, you know, your parents, they just really, I just don't think we should be going over there for the holidays anymore. Those are contributing to the divorce rate. Conflicting parenting philosophies, straining relationships, because parents, they do it one way. The kid thinks it should be done another way. All of these are issues. All that to say, mom and dad, we can't cut our kids off from the world. But maybe, just maybe, this is instructive for us to be more mindful of how we are parenting our kids so that one day they don't divorce us. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News break, production of Fortis Institute. A federal court in northern Nigeria has ruled that Islamic religious police cannot arrest a young woman for becoming a Christian. She's 22, and last year she ran away from her home where her older brothers were abusing her and pushing her into marriage that she refused. A Christian family took her in, and living with them, she came to faith in Christ. Her brothers went to the religious police, who held her for 4 days, beat her, and pressured her to accept the wedding. The court called that a flagrant violation of her dignity and her freedom of religion and ordered the state to pay her. The Alliance Defending Freedom backed the case. Closer to home, courts have been busy protecting children as well. A federal appeals court cleared Arkansas to enforce a law making it a crime to hand a minor material that's legally obscene for minors and giving county officials the last word on challenged books. It sat frozen for 3 years. Attorney General Tim Griffin says it protected kids while holding libraries accountable for what they shelved. The American Civil Liberties Union vowed to keep fighting, and one library advocate warned librarians will be arrested for doing their jobs, then blamed white supremacy. Nothing is banned here. One book at issue is a sex education title for 8-year-olds that introduces them to masturbation. 90% of parents say that doesn't belong in a school library. And kids are targeted online in uglier ways. And this week, the FBI and the National Collegiate Athletic Association announced a joint effort against one of them. Criminals steal private images through phishing, stolen passwords, or fake customer service, then threaten to publish unless the athlete pays. Athletes get hit because name, image, and likeness money raised their profiles and handed blackmailers a little bit of leverage. Last year, the Bureau's Crime Complaint Center logged more than 75,000 reports, 3,000 tips a day. A Michigan teenager took his own life after scammers demanded $1,000 for photos that they had stolen. If you've got a kid with a phone, it's probably a good time to have a conversation. And young Americans, they're being sold something else. Over the 4th of July weekend, the Democratic Socialists of America passed 120,000 members, up from 6,000 in 2015. The largest socialist organization in our history. 62% of adults under 30 view socialism favorably. A third say the same about communism. And the reason they give isn't even Marx. Asked for the elevator pitch, one activist just said, tired of sitting alone with nobody to talk to. Being a socialist, it's about community. That's not economics. That's a church-shaped hole, and the church ought to take notice on who's filling it. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is sort of amusing, sort of terrifying, all rolled up into one big YouTube clip. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you to Great Britain. Lawrence Fox, he's a British political activist. I don't know what his stripe is, but he was invited to speak at Oxford Union. He's in a tuxedo. He's with a group of individuals, mostly Muslims, because it was Muslims who invited him in, and he was allowed to speak on what he perceived to be the dangers of Islam. That's the setting. Here's his presentation. Enjoy. It's amusing and terrifying.
52% compulsory halal. I could go on and on and on and on. But most important to me, and most important to me, is the free speech of this. So let's get this out, shall we? 78% of British Muslims believe that no publication should publish pictures of Muhammad.
What is he holding in his hand? It's an envelope. Presumably, inside of the envelope is a picture of Muhammad.
An overwhelming majority. That rises to 87%. That's 9 out of every 10 Muslims that are walking the streets today in a country which absolutely abandoned blasphemy laws. Suspicion is not strong enough a word. The West should resist Islam in the strongest terms on free speech grounds alone.
That's an interesting argument, isn't it? I mean, I protest on regarding other issues like, you know, Sharia law, like the worldview is incompatible, like their eschatology. His argument is they don't allow free speech. And free speech, by the way, is slightly broad. Well, it's really wildly broader than just talking. It's writing. It's images. It's painting. It's art. It's music. It's images of Muhammad.
So here we are with this cartoon, right? And it's time to show that I will not submit. I will not adhere to the religious laws of far-off places. Now, my wife asked me not to show this for fear of repercussions in my family, but I told her that if I did not, then I had already submitted to Islam. So here we are.
Right about it.
Is it not enough?
Breaking protocol. A woman pops up. Hey, hold on a second. Why? Because she's in a panic that he's going to show an image of Muhammad.
Is it not enough that half the team that invited you to this debate were Muslim women who wanted to hear out your expression and your arguments?
It's interesting. This Muslim woman who is standing up to protest, she doesn't have her head covered. She has her hair down. I can see her wrists. She's committing an Islamic no-no.
Is it not enough that I, as a Muslim president, have invited you to this chamber to give your arguments? Is that not enough justification and evidence for you to believe that we do believe in free speech? I would not become the president of a free speech society if not for it.
Thank you.
But don't show that picture! Don't you dare show that picture!
Oh, all right. May I? Thank you very much. May I finish? Excuse me.
Point of order having been raised.
Dude's getting shut down. Now, can you imagine if somebody had an envelope with an image of Jesus Christ? Would anybody be jumping up and screaming? Come, order, hold on a second.
I hear the ex-librarian.
It's a long time since I've been in this chamber and knew the rules off by heart. We're in the House of Commons, and we model ourselves on the House of Commons, props are not allowed.
Okay. A lesser man at this moment would make a commentary about props being used by preachers in church. I'm not that lesser man. I wouldn't do that. The House of Commons, they're not allowed to use props. Why? If you can't make your point powerfully and persuasively simply by using words, then you probably shouldn't be speaking. And that is the rule in the House of Commons. Shouldn't that also be a rule in the church? If you need props, you need gizmos, it is a clear indication you shouldn't be up there. If you're an orator, which is what a preacher is, then you should be able to orate and you should be able to persuade, not by using gimmicks, not by using props, not by having special effects, not by using movie clips.
I wonder whether the rule on props is the same in the Oxford Union.
I thank the honorable gentleman for his point of order.
Point of order? We can't use props in here when the prop is a picture of Muhammad, because we all know what could happen. They could burn the building down. let's be honest, they could burn the building down. Great Britain, I'm not sure that they're any worse, quite honestly, than America in this regard. The terror of Islam and the coddling of Islam and the unwillingness to call out the fact that this religion is very bad and it's very dangerous and it has 1,400 years of history to prove it. These people are terrified of Islam. You can't help but, of course, think about the report of the gang rape statistics that have been going on in Great Britain. 250,000 girls, British girls, being used in sex trafficking. By whom? 87% of the names, I believe, have a distinct Islamic flavor to them. What is the person, Jimmy, would you look up, would you do the AI machine? What is the percentage of the population in Great Britain that is Islamic?
Okay.
Because 87% of the sex trafficking, no, the, sorry, gang raping is being committed by Muslims. I don't think they're 87% of the population, at least not yet.
Excuse me, one moment, Miss Voss.
The ex-president is also raising a point of order, I think.
Just so it's helpful to others, at least Michael is involved in society, that ban was not extended and didn't seem to apply to Israel and Palestine flag.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure what he said either, but it's just another, hey, put that envelope down.
Right. I'm
going to rule on the point of order. There is no bar in the forms of the House against the use of props. However, I would encourage Mr. Fox to make the point and move on.
I was until point of order.
By the way, we got to start using that word props for church. Oh, look at the prop preacher. It's a prop preacher. Using a little gimmickry. It's a prop preacher. You got the percentage yet, Jimmy?
It just came through, so about 6.1%.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is going to be a little embarrassing, but my math skills aren't so good. Would you remind me, is 6 bigger than 87?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. then I guess maybe Britain has a problem.
So it is in that spirit that I will not submit that I show you this as an Englishman who believes in free speech.
Okay, I don't even know what it's a picture of, but it's clearly not Muhammad. All right, it was a ruse.
I will not submit. I will not bow down.
Funny. But point made, wasn't it?
Right. So, I think which rather proves the point I was trying to make, that in this envelope lived your fear. And your fear of Islam and what Islam will do to you that when you upset its very oversensitive sky wizard. And what lived in this room is a healthy and brilliant and noble British tradition of suspicion of Islam. I encourage you to pass the motion. Thank you very much.
Western civilization, we have a problem. Islam is not compatible with our values and beliefs. It's as simple as that. And this is just one demonstration of that. Hold on. I got it over. Ben Shapiro posted this. This is what we couldn't hear in this video. I believe that the woman who was the president of the Islamic Society, you're lucky we Muslims in here are nice, because if we weren't, our co-religionists outside would burn you to death. Yeah, that's the problem. What needs to happen for Islam to be accepted in Western society? There needs to be a radical reformation. In fact, I think there needs to be a new name. If there are indeed, and I do believe that there are, I don't think that they're being the Muslims that are adhering correctly to the Quran, but there are peaceful Muslims. That there are. They're not good Muslims because of that, which is good for us, but they're not good Muslims. There needs to be a name change. Let the terrorists keep Muslim. Let the terrorists keep Islam. All of the peaceful ones, do something different. It would be sort of like Catholic Protestant. Come up with like an entirely new, no, we're just not that. And that way, if you've got a mosque, we can know which one you are. If you're a Muslim, we can simply ask you, are you a this or a that? Short of a radical reformation and a divorce in Islam with new names, I'm sorry. Mr. Fox was right on point. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what's rare? Finding something that makes you laugh and makes you think at the same time. And that's why we've brought in Gary Varvel. Gary's an award-winning cartoonist, and every week he draws in an original creation just for Fortis Institute. They're sharp, they're funny, and they usually make a point that sticks with you a little bit longer than you expected it to. And something else you'll find at Fortis Institute is Fortis News, which is hosted by yours truly. These are up-to-the-minute headlines that matter to Christians, and they're told from a biblical worldview. There's no spin, there's no agenda. It's just the news with a Christian perspective. And both of these things, part of what we're building in Fortis Institute, and both are made possible by our gospel partners. If you have been helped and you appreciate the content that we're creating at Fortis Institute, would you consider supporting us so that we can reach more people in more places all over the world? It's really simple. We know you have questions, so we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know, the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality. Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no. Then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. History is full of kings, and every single one of those kings, well, they're gone now, except one. One king continues to reign, and Exalt the King with Todd Friel is a weekly podcast about that very king. Todd is the pastor of Alpharetta Bible Church, and every single week, he takes a passage of Scripture and he preaches it the way it was meant to be preached, until you can see Jesus in all of his beauty and glory. And Todd will be the first to tell you, he's after more than just your attention. He preaches to stir your heart, because a king this glorious deserves to be loved, and a heart that loves him follows him gladly. So come and hear for yourself what happens when the Word of God lifts Christ up where he belongs. Exalt the King with Todd Friel. There's a new episode every week wherever you listen to podcasts or on fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation. He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of prop preachers, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, did you happen to see the story? It came out about Denver, Lakewood Church. I couldn't tell if it was Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox. Either way, I'm cheering for the new priest who arrived 6 months ago, who's made himself a little bit of local fame by riding a scooter to church. That's right. Yeah, he jumped with his, you know, the black robe on all the way down from head to toe. He's wearing the black robe. And he jumps on the scooter. Well, somebody took a video and put it up on Facebook. Apparently, it's gaining traction. And the church has been drawing a full house. And some of that is because of the scooter. That's how it works, don't you know? if you win them with a prop, you got to keep them with a prop. That's the problem right there. The priest said the scooter thing really helped bring people in. Whatever works, works. Ah, he's seeker sensitive.
You got to get a moped now.
I'm cheering for him. You go, dude. Yes, yes, whatever works. Yes, keep that up, Roman Catholic Church. Keep that up, Eastern Orthodox. Go the way of seeker sensitivity. Let me know how that works out for you, because I hope it does better than it did for evangelicalism. What you win them with, you must keep them with. And if it, whatever works, works, that's pragmatism of the worst sort. Why? Because you're playing around with trying to manipulate God's house. Hey, we're just going to get them here, hook, line, and sinker. We don't care. But if you win them with the kooky priest on a scooter, then that priest is going to just have to get kookier and kookier and do more and more hijinks and shenanigans. And haven't we seen that as the pattern inside of evangelicalism? Some of the spectacles that need to be put on in these mega churches, you just got to do bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because whatever works, works. What you win them with, you must keep them with. Dear Bible preaching pastor, do not go the way of that priest. Right now, the Roman Catholic Church and Eastern Orthodoxy, this guy's so against the trend. Young people are being attracted to churches that are more serious. He's trying to make it more silly and relatable and cool and fun. I think that's anti-trend, and I encourage you, Bible preaching pastor, don't go the way of that trend. A buddy of mine who's in a confessional Lutheran synod, he said that their branch of Lutheranism, there's that drip. There's just a steady drip of, hey, let's be less liturgical. Let's be less formal. And I just want to, no, don't do it, my Lutheran friends. Don't do it. We've got the scientific evidence. The numbers are in. The seeker-sensitive movement was a really bad idea. Jimmy, got another story here that appears to be a spoof.
Okay.
But it's not. Have you been following former Boston Celtics center Cantor?
Enes Cantor.
Enes, is that how you say it? Unusual spelling, E-N-E-S.
Uh-huh.
Enes Cantor.
Mm-hmm.
And Utah Jazz forward Royce White. Do you know the story?
I do not.
Yeah, they've decided that they identify as women and they want to play in the WNBA. Nobody knows where they're really coming from on this, but wow, they're pressing into it and they're making it a deal. And suppose there's a guy, I don't know, a rich man. I think he put up $10 million and said, I want to start an all trans women's team in the WNBA. And he's still kind of going for it because, hey, if it's okay that a dude who thinks he's a woman plays in the WNBA, then put together a team and you watch what happens. We all know what would happen. It would just destroy the women's teams. I wish I could think of the guy's name, because as soon as I brought it up to Mrs. Friel, she went, oh, yeah, he was the guy that we sat next to at the Tennessee football game. It was about 2 years ago. Do you remember? Got to go see the Tennessee Volunteers get beat by University of Georgia. Did I have to point that out, that they lost? No, I didn't. But they did, to the University of Georgia. Which, by the way, Jimmy, I think we're going to be down there this fall doing some open-air preaching at UGA. Nevertheless, yeah. UGA won. And the dude was like sitting in front of us, and she said, do you know who that is? No. And I still don't. But apparently, very wealthy fellow who's causing the WNBA to put their money where their mouth is. And so are these two players, Cantor and White. Now, this is the response of these guys, of the WNBA. We recognize that this is a complex, and nuanced topic. No, it's not. The only reason it's complex is because people are making it complex. This is what liberals always do. This is being done inside of churches and denominations. It's very complex to study the issue of the role of women in the church. It's very complex. It's very nuanced. No, it's not. You don't need to study. It's very clear. And the same thing is true with this. A boy is a boy. Girl is a girl. It's so intuitive. Little children know this. We recognize that this is a complex and nuanced topic, and we'll continue to have important conversations. Oh, there it is. We got to have those conversations, got to have studies, got to have reports. We'll have those conversations with all of you and the Players Association in the weeks and months ahead. We also, get ready for this, we also plan to convene additional discussions and offer listening sessions. Listening sessions. Here's how those listening sessions go, and you know that if you're a Christian working in a corporation where they're DEI-ing you. You're going to come and have a listening session, and you're going to be told how terrible you are, and you're going to apologize for being white or for being male or for being straight. Or, in this instance, if you think that people who think that they're the opposite gender need help, then you're the one who's going to apologize at a listening session. No facts involved. It's just talking, stories, feelings. This is a no-brainer. You've got you've got science, chromosomes, you've got body parts, you've got procreation, you've got just a difference in build, difference in shape. I even think that emotional should be one of those items that we'd use to distinguish the difference between men and women. So White, Mr. White, who's trying to get on the WNBA, said he's received death threats. Quote, I can't believe all the hate I've received. That's probably the most shocking thing is the hate that I've received in the first 100 hours of my trans existence. My public trans existence. The left is just vicious death threats. You should commit suicide. Your mother should be ashamed. It's absolutely eye-opening. The hate that trans people have lived with, it's just a shock that most of it comes from the American political left. Under the WNBA's collective bargaining agreement, quote, only players who are women are eligible to play in the NBA. But the collective bargaining agreement doesn't give a definition of what it means to be a woman. And so these guys are trying to reveal it for how ridiculous it is, which is exactly, by the way, what Brandon Gill did. I think he's 32 years old. Brandon Gill, he's the congressman from Texas. This guy is so calm. This is hot off the press.
I've introduced legislation to add the Equal Rights Amendment as the 28th Amendment, enshrining it as the law of this land. Now, look, y'all, every Democrat in the House has signed on to my bill, but I'm still waiting on my Republican colleagues to join.
And I'd be happy to look at your Equal Rights Amendment and read through it. I guess my biggest question was, does it define what a woman is?
Ouch. Ouch.
I look forward to your signing on.
We'll take a look at it. I just was hoping for some analytical clarity, but thank you. We'll take a look at it.
This... it's not a difficult issue. Let's trust the science, shall we? Oh, by the way, this is the coach, I believe, of the Indiana team being confronted with the subject.
What is your stance on men or athletes who test as biological male participating in women's sports? What's your personal stance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say that I'm educated enough from a scientific standpoint.
It's easy. XX, XY. Very easy.
I don't ever believe that exclusion is an answer. I just don't.
Really? Cool. Then let those two dudes play.
I do think, you know, when we think about various levels of sport, various governing bodies of sport and things that go into that, like I said, I'm not educated enough at the different levels.
Well, here you are. Here's your education. XX, XY. You're educated.
I know growing up, I played with the boys all the time.
Okay. So that means that men then should play in the WNBA. Got it. Good. Good science.
Yeah, girl sports.
Would you welcome a biological male in WNBA?
I don't know. When we talk about biological male and scientifically where we are, I think it's a totally different scenario.
It's just nonsense. Paging Romans 1, anybody, what a world that we live in. And it is, I think, a very vivid reminder. You're not going to persuade a woman like that. You're not going to help people think better. by arguing with them, debating. Science won't persuade them, but just what is obvious to a toddler won't persuade them. They need a new heart. They need a new mind. They need regeneration, which means they need the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your kingdom.